Ave Maria in the Afternoon is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Welcome to Ave Maria in the Afternoon, examining the world through the lens of faith from the heart of the Church to help us navigate the culture. Here's Dr. Marcus Peter.
Good afternoon. Thank you for joining us on this hour of Ave Maria in the Afternoon. I'm Marcus Peter. We're joined by my friend Andrea Picciotti-Beyer today, as we are every Wednesday, to talk about freedom of religion questions, especially from a legal perspective. A group called the Satanic Grotto is planning to perform a black mass at the Kansas State Capitol. If it doesn't get all of us up in arms, at the very least, it should cause us a tremendous amount of concern. Organizers are saying that the spectacle is meant to reflect our own pain and anger of us being subjected to religion that we never gave consent to. Now, for the most part, the grander movement of Satanism claims that they don't actually believe in Satan, nor do they believe in any God. This is a collection of atheists who utilize the figure of Satan as a stance for atheism, anti-theism specifically. And so this quote-unquote black mass is done to be willfully sacrilegious against the Catholic mass. And the purpose of it is as a public protest at the lowest level, but it is, frankly, liturgical blasphemy at the highest level. And so we ought to be concerned. Because while freedom of religion protects freedom of expression and worship, what it doesn't allow for is the complete repudiation of legitimate expressions of worship, in this case Catholicism and Christianity at large. And so we're going to discuss this with Andrea Picciotti about how we ought to tackle this from a First Amendment perspective. Andrea is legal analyst for EWTN News, as many of you already know. We go on from there to speak with my friend Dr. Monica Miller. Monica continues to be at the forefront of fighting for the life of the unborn, and she has details on how you and I can host protests, join a protest, or spread the word about why we must defund Planned Parenthood. On April the 2nd, Wednesday, pro-lifers are protesting at Planned Parenthood centers across the country. And the purpose is to urge our present government to defund Planned Parenthood, especially at the federal level. Planned Parenthood leads the charge right now for the massacre of innocent children in the womb. And so if we are to make headway in this race for fighting for the life of the unborn, this is something that needs to be done. And then finally, we're joined by my friend Steve Ray to talk about St. Joseph from a biblical and historical perspective and what we can learn from him. All this after the headlines.
Thank you, Marcus, and good afternoon, everyone. This is your Ave Maria Radio News for Wednesday, March 19th. It's the Solemnity of St. Joseph. And today's news is brought to you by Ave Maria University. Your vocation location is at avemaria.edu. Pope Francis is no longer in need of medical ventilation at night. The Holy See Press Office said in Wednesday night's update that the Pope has suspended non-invasive medical ventilation and also has less need of high-flow oxygen therapy. Pope Francis has been at Rome's Gemelli Hospital since February 14th, receiving treatment for bilateral pneumonia. The Federal Reserve is leaving interest rates unchanged. It comes as Fed Chair Jerome Powell has said they are not in a hurry to raise rates. Meanwhile, tensions remain between the U.S. and trade partners as President Trump moves forward with tariffs. Another batch of files related to former President John F. Kennedy's assassination have been released. This comes after the Trump administration released the first batch of documents on Tuesday. According to the National Archives, over 63,000 pages were released between both batches. The Powerball jackpot is soaring after there was no grand prize winner on St. Patrick's Day. The next drawing, set for tonight, will now be worth at least $416 million. The cash option works out to be just over $194 million. And on this day in rock and roll history, Link Wray released the instrumental Rumble. A number of radio stations refused to play the song, claiming its title and sound promoted juvenile delinquency. From the Ave Maria Radio.net news desk, I'm Dan McGraw.
Good afternoon and welcome back. I'm Marcus Peter. A group called the Satanic Grotto is planning to perform a black mass at the Kansas State Capitol. Organizers say that the spectacle is meant to reflect our own pain and anger of them being subjected to religion that we never gave consent to. We talk more about this with Andrea Pachotti-Bear. Andrea is legal analyst for EWTN News and director of the Conscience Project. You can follow her work at conscience-project.org. Andrea, great to speak with you. How are you?
I'm doing well, Marcus. How are you?
I'm well, thank you, and I'm also marveling at the irony that only in a nation that enshrines religious freedom can a pseudo-religion stand up and proclaim that the reason they are mad is because of the very freedom that those religions they are attacking give them the right to do.
Well, I actually don't think they have the right to do it.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
So there is irony all abound in this, which is really, you know, not that surprising when you're dealing with Satanists. Mm-hmm. You know, he's the prince of darkness, but also, you know, a master of deception. And anyone that's following him is not really anyone that we can trust. Especially we can't trust them on their word, which is, I think, what's going on here in Kansas.
And there are numerous Christian groups that are already mounting up a protest to demonstrate against this heinous act of sacrilege, because at the lowest level, this is sacrilege against Christian practice of worship. At the highest level, it's also liturgical blasphemy, because the entire concept of a mass is borrowed from the Catholic faith and completely perverted.
No, absolutely. And it's also a disrespect of the rule of law, right? Mm-hmm. The governor of Kansas said, hey, you know, I can't for purposes of order within the Capitol allow this to happen, but you know, you're welcome to have your get-together outside of the Capitol. And the leaders of the Satanic Grotto said, no, we plan on storming the Capitol. So there's, all, you know, both at the supernatural and at the natural level, just a disrespect for tradition, a disrespect for order, which, again, is not all that surprising. What I just found out recently, Marcus, though, is that the Archbishop of Kansas has filed suit. Mm-hmm. Because they've uncovered enough information where these leaders of the Satanic Temple are claiming to have in their possession consecrated hosts and consecrated wine. And this is really where the church is flexing its muscles, both, you know, understanding the supernatural and the natural, and saying, you've got to give it back, because that's not anything that's been taken or given to you. It's been stolen. And it's the property of the church. You know, consecrated hosts and consecrated wine are the property of the church and can only be consumed by those, you know, that are in a proper receipt of them, but can't be used for these kinds of shenanigans.
You know, Andrea, suffice to say, as a publicity stunt, they've already started rocking the boat, or at least they've incurred some level of attention, but you couple this with legitimate sacramental and liturgical blasphemy. And the statements that they've made, this is, by their own admission, this is therapeutic blasphemy. One look at the Satanic Grotto, and they say nonsense, like they're feminist, LGBTQ allies, anti-racist, and they utilize philosophies from many walks of the left-hand path. At this point, I think anyone who identifies with any of these movements, if they see Satanism aligning with them, then maybe it's time to reconsider which side we ought to be on.
Yeah, no, that is so astute, Marcus. I mean, you can see this, a similar group called the Satanic Temple, which mm-hmm. is headquartered in Massachusetts, has been wreaking havoc all over the place. And one of the things that they've done recently is say, you know, there's a satanic ritual of abortion. And I'm like, I bet there is, you know, because we know that abortion is against the will of God. Mm-hmm. So you're absolutely right that, you know, people are, there's so much in common, and so much of it is this spirit of division, deceit, deception, rejection of God's creation, rejection of God's authority. Yeah. In doing my investigation, research, and writing for the piece that I wrote in National Review, mm-hmm. I almost felt like, gosh, you know, I can't sprinkle holy water on my laptop, but I sure want to sprinkle some holy salt all around us, because you just see the the sorrow of people being in the hands of the enemy, and also the kind of, they think they're being clever. And this is just like you were saying at the beginning of our conversation, Marcus, they're trying to manipulate our great principles of religious freedom, of free speech, to do that which is not good. It's not for the common good. It incites violence, not by just the people that will hear it, but they actually have violence as among their principles.
Yes.
So, you know, that's a very important point for any kind of public official or anyone scratching their head thinking, well, does the Constitution allow these guys in there? No, it doesn't, because they've not only said that they resort to violence when needed, but they've also said they're willing to disregard the accommodation of Governor Kelly and instead just storm the Capitol. So these are not people that are adding to the common good, but dead set on creating chaos.
Well, I mean, their statutes make it clear, right, Andrea? You take a look at any satanic organization, their creeds are always about self-service and self-centeredness. It's about the self and self-preservation, the preservation of self-interest above all else. Any notion of the common good is an inherently Christian one, and so they recoil against that.
Well, and you know, we heard this starting in Genesis. Right?
Yeah.
Where the devil told Adam and Eve, you know, you can be like gods, right? And tapping into their basest, desires instead of what was for their good. And it is very disturbing. It's disturbing to see that people, today are being tricked into this, to this day.
Yeah.
There are still people being tricked by the enemy. What I think is very important is that we understand that the freedoms that we enjoy in our country are ones that need to be respected.
Yep.
And it doesn't mean that just because you disagree with somebody, you can silence them. No. You know, free speech does allow for a robust exchange of opinions, even the ones that you disagree with.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't allow for violence.
Yep.
It doesn't allow for disregard of proper order. And this is where we really need to stand and support Governor Kelly, you know, who is trying to thread that needle. I think she actually could tell them, you know, not only there's the door, but, you know, get out entirely.
Yeah.
You have lost the respect that I would give to any Kansan by Kansas and anyone from Kansas by basically saying, I will refuse to recognize your authority. And that's, you know, again, no surprise when you're dealing with people that have aligned themselves with the enemy.
Yeah, and at that point, they would no longer be in Kansas anymore, Toto.
Someone had to get that out there.
I was waiting. It was either going to be you or me, and I wanted to beat you to it. Just to expand the irony into the realm of lunacy, when they say things like, God will fall and Kansas will be embraced by the black flame of Lucifer, the ridiculousness of it all is that the very notion of freedom of expression is an overflow of Judeo-Christianity. And that's a point that, for some reason, in our historical antagonism, we not only take for granted, we hate. But do we not realize that we owe it to Christianity to at least be grateful?
No, and I think, you know, it's really where we're seeing our church leaders, especially Archbishop Naumann, who is stepping into there and responding to this kind of hatefulness with a call to prayer.
Yeah.
This has been the case that has happened in instances both in Oklahoma City when there was an intended black mass at Harvard, where the Catholic Church and our leaders are really directing attention to the right use of our voices, to the right use of our speech, which is to, you know, do acts of reparation, prayer, thanksgiving. And I'm really, particularly touched because they're turning to Mary on the Feast of the Annunciation to call people to pray.
Yeah. Now more than ever, as things are dark, the light of Christ will shine. Thank you, Andrea, for making the time to speak with us.
Thanks, Marcus.
My guest, Andrea Picciotti-Baer, legal analyst for EWTN News, director of the Conscience Project. We've been talking about how the Kansas State Capitol is not going to be a place for Satanists to conduct a black mass. Stay tuned. I'm Marcus Peter.
Welcome to an Advanced Dentistry Center family. This is Dr. Metti, and our team strives to treat you like family in a loving and compassionate way as we focus on serving you in a Christ-like manner. We do this by emphasizing prevention and general well-being for a lifetime. Our private practice is small, personal, state-of-the-art, and innovative, with the goal to educate and motivate our patients in improving their oral health. It is through a partnership with you that you will achieve the goals for your smile. Advanced Dentistry is serious about the level of care we provide, with attention to details and an exceptional level of care, skill, and judgment. We are thrilled for the opportunity to serve you.
Dr. Matty and the team invite you to visit them at AdvancedDentistryCenter.com or call them at 248-594-9592. That's 248-594-9592. AdvancedDentistryCenter.com. When your children consider going to college, where are you going to find a place that will prepare them for the future and build on the foundation that you've laid? The answer? Ave Maria University. With an authentically Catholic curriculum, including 35 majors, AMU prepares students to take on the world.
My daughter told me she was published in a scientific journal as an undergrad. I'm so proud of her. The world needs Catholic physicists, and my daughter's going to be one of them.
Learn more at avemaria.edu. That's avemaria.edu.
Ave Maria in the Afternoon is underwritten by the following nonprofit organization: Real Estate for Life. Buying or selling your home or business property? Real Estate for Life can connect you with one of 1,400 pro-life real estate agents around the world. When Real Estate for Life receives a referral fee, they donate 70% to Ave Maria Radio and Human Life International. More information at realestateforlife.org or 877-LIFE-US1. That's realestateforlife.org.
Good afternoon, welcome back. I'm Marcus Peter. On Wednesday, April the 2nd, pro-lifers across the country are protesting at Planned Parenthood centers across the nation, urging our government to defund Planned Parenthood. Dr. Monica Miller has details on how you can host a protest, join a protest, or spread the word about why we must defund the nation's largest abortion chain. And for all of you listening right now, the description of all of this is going to be on our website, avemariaradio.net today. But I also want to urge you, let's get involved. Dr. Monica Miller is the director of Citizens for a Pro-Life Society, one of the foremost voices on the pro-life arena right now, lobbying for and constantly fighting for the life of the unborn. Monica, great to speak with you. How are you?
I'm great. So good to be with you, Marcus.
It's always a joy to connect with you. So why are we looking at April the 2nd? What's going on?
Well, there is actually, it's very odd. It's an odd Supreme Court case that's coming up, and the oral arguments are going to actually be heard on April 2nd. That's why we have timed these demonstrations for that particular date. The lawsuit has originated out of South Carolina, and I know this is going to sound weird, but the case has to do with whether states have the right not to fund Planned Parenthood.
Mm.
Okay. So why is this even an issue? But there it is. And so North Carolina has legislation in place that state is poised to no longer fund through Medicaid abortions, and also that means not giving money to Planned Parenthood. So I think it probably has to do with entanglement with Medicaid, but this is a very important Supreme Court case, and if South Carolina prevails, it's really going to change the entire landscape regarding the funding of abortion going forward. And there is a lot of interest in this defunding issue regarding Planned Parenthood right now.
Yeah.
So yes, we have nationwide demonstrations planned. Right up where we have right now about 60 already committed. To people who have stepped forward to lead and to organize one of these demonstrations in their own community. They're going to be taking place at various Planned Parenthood abortion centers all around the country. And there's plenty of time. You have just a little over 2 weeks, Marcus, mm-hmm. that somebody could step up and say, yeah, we've got a Planned Parenthood within driving distance of where I live, right? Or maybe right even in your own town. And you need, you know, now is the time to step up and to exercise some local leadership and put together one of these demonstrations. So, in fact, here in our backyard here in Michigan, we already have three of these demonstrations that are going to be taking place. One of them in Ferndale, that's the one I am organizing, the Planned Parenthood on Woodward Avenue at 12 noon on the 2nd. So come on out. Also 12 noon at the Planned Parenthood on Professional Drive in Ann Arbor, as well as the Planned Parenthood on Farmington Road in Livonia, all at 12 noon. And we hope it would be really great if we could double the number that we have right now, if we could get 100 of these demonstrations all over the country. So it's really simple. I'm going to give out our website because it's right on the homepage. Mm-hmm. So if you go to prolifesociety.com, no hyphens, prolifesociety.com, right there on the homepage, there's the link to the dedicated website. So you can go get, and click on that, and it'll take you to the dedicated website is nomoneyforabortion.com. But again, if you just go to our website, prolifesociety.com, it'll give you everything you need. Click on that link. So there are two things that you can do. You can host a demonstration, host mm-hmm. a protest. So click on that. Super easy, all very user-friendly. You put in your information, and you submit it, and then it's going to get posted. So everyone will be able to find out, where is one of these demonstrations happening in my community, in my state? So everything is alphabetized by state. So you'll be able to find out, where is one of these demonstrations happening in my backyard, so that you can attend, right? So there's the other tab for attending one of the protests. But we really hope that we can recruit more people to step up. And it's not that complicated. Even if you had 10, 20 people come out to, you know, hold a sign for 90 minutes. It's like the easiest thing you'll ever do as a pro-lifer, okay? But we really want to make an issue out of defunding the largest abortion provider in the United States, which is Planned Parenthood.
Yeah. And, you know, I'm looking at Live Action's coverage of this particular case and why it's so crucial that we be a part of this. I'm also calling, just like you are, I'm calling upon every single pro-life advocate listening right now, those who have ties to pro-life organizations. Let's find ways, like Monica said, to stage protests, to be part of the response against Planned Parenthood, because while they present themselves as healthcare providers, it's no secret that their bread and butter has to do with the massacre of children in the womb. And of course, they sugarcoat this under the guise and euphemism of elective healthcare, but there's nothing more harmful than what Planned Parenthood is doing at the forefront.
Planned Parenthood performs over 300,000 abortions every year. Mm-hmm. That means that just about one-third of all of the abortions, all the killing of unborn children taking place in our country is coming out of a Planned Parenthood, is coming out of Planned Parenthood abortion centers. That is outrageous. And it is their moneymaker. And, you know, Abby Johnson, an ex, you know, former abortion clinic director from Texas, one of the reasons why she quit is because that they were being, you know, the managers were being told, you have to push abortion, you have to sell abortion, you know, and then the other so-called services, you know, are you know, take a very definite backseat, right, to their cash cow, and you know, it's staggering, really, Marcus. Over the decades that the federal government has been funding Planned Parenthood with your tax dollars,
right,
we are looking at billions and billions and billions of dollars that have gone to this pro-death organization. So it's time that we make a big issue out of it. You know, maybe now, of course, that Trump is, you know, in office and we have a Congress that is more sympathetic, now's the time to shut off the money that goes to Planned Parenthood. And by the way, Planned Parenthood is in a lot of trouble. And there was a very incredible investigative report that was published in the New York Times, of all places, on February 15th of this year. Planned Parenthood in a state of crisis, botched abortions, the staff poorly trained, the equipment is run down, their facilities run down, and it's an eye-opener. It really is an eye-opener. So, you know, what are we talking about then when we throwing our tax dollars to this organization that can't, you know, is in disarray and in such disorganization. So there it is. You can easily Google that, you know, to find that article. New York Times, just put in the search words, Planned Parenthood in crisis, February 15th, and you'll be able to bring up that article.
Evil eventually becomes its own undoing, but not without good people rising up against it. And so, Monica, just before the end of the segment, please give out all of that information again, and we'll also have it in our description here at AveMariaRadio.net.
So what we want people to go to our website, prolifesociety.com. And then there, right on the homepage, maybe scroll down just a little, you're going to see the link to the dedicated website for this event, April 2nd. You can sign up to be a leader. You can and certainly search your state to find out where one of these demonstrations is going to be taking place. But we really want to encourage leadership to organize something in your own backyard at one of the Planned Parenthoods in your vicinity.
My guest, Dr. Monica Miller, Director of Citizens for a Pro-Life Society. And as she mentioned, let's get involved. April the 2nd is the date. We don't have a moment to lose. Stay tuned. I'm Marcus Peter.
This is Dr. Ricardo Selva, Director of the Jazz Program at Schoolcraft College in Livonia, Michigan, inviting you to a special evening of music on Monday, March 31st at 7:30 p.m. at the Vista Tech Center. The concert features creative programming and engaging ensembles that will make this experience a delightful way to usher in the freshness of spring, and the admission is free. For information, go to schoolcraft.edu/music or call 847-721-7299. We hope to see you there.
My dad, sharp as a tack, but getting him out for a dentist trip got harder every year. When he moved to the senior residence where he lives now, Dr. Mansour's portable dental service was a godsend. Dr. Mansour comes to wherever the homebound patient may be, whether in a nursing facility or the comfort of home. All the services you'd expect in a dentist office brought straight to the patient's door. Call 586-873-5567. That's 586-873-5567 or portabledentalservices.com.
Beacon Skin and Surgeries is a comprehensive dermatology center on the border of Troy and Rochester Hills, south of M59 and in Livonia. Beacon Skin and Surgeries perform full skin exams and focus on the diagnosis and treatment of all types of skin cancer and precancerous lesions. All are board certified dermatologists and fellowship trained surgeons. Call 248-852-1900. Beacon Skin and Surgeries, a beacon for patient care. 248-852-1900.
This program brought to you in part by Ave Maria, Florida, a big kind of small town where golf carts take you everywhere and there's always something fun around the corner. Discover championship golf, resort-style amenities, and a town center full of shopping and dining. With Ave Maria University and Ave Maria Catholic Church at its heart, it's a community full of connection and charm. More than 25 model homes are available for viewing. More information can be found at AveMaria.com. That's AveMaria.com.
Men, isn't it time to ignite your spirit and live as a faithful Catholic man in the post-Christian world of today? Then join men from around the state of Michigan as we come together for the Ignite Catholic Men's Conference on Saturday, March 22nd at the EMU Girvan Game Above Center in Ypsilanti. This conference is not meant to simply ignite your faith for a day, but to invite men across the diocese to build strong Christian communities in their homes, parishes, and workplaces. Inspiring speakers like NFL champion and pro-life speaker Matt Burke, Renewal Ministries' Peter Herbeck, Father Joe Krupp, and from the Diocese of Lansing, Bishop Earl Boyer, will ignite your faith and zeal for the Lord. Secure your tickets today for this statewide Ignite Men's Conference, Saturday, March 22nd at the EMU Girvin Game Above Center in Ypsilanti. Go to MichiganCMC.org. That's MichiganCMC.org.
Resetting your password, unsubscribing from emails, printing anything. Why are simple things sometimes so complicated? Thankfully, with an auto owner's insurance independent agent, getting the right coverage for your business doesn't have to be one of them, so you can get back to more important things, like learning how that printer works. That's simple human sense.
Call Choice Insurance Agency at 734-641-4200.
When your children consider going to college, where are you going to find a place that will prepare them for the future and build on the foundation that you've laid? The answer? Ave Maria University. With an authentically Catholic curriculum, including 35 majors, AMU prepares students to take on the world.
I've seen the difference in my son since he's been at Ave Maria. He's happy, he's excited about what he's going to do with his degree, and he's living his faith.
Learn more at avemaria.edu. That's avemaria.edu.
Good afternoon, welcome back. I'm Marcus Peter. It's time to talk about manly, manly things with manly, manly men. And it's the feast day of our Holy Father, St. Joseph, and joining me to talk about St. Joseph is our own Jerusalem Jones, Steve Ray, who is a dear friend of Ave Maria Radio, Al Cresta. He's a good father figure to all of us, including me. And we are talking about virtuous fatherhood, manhood, and what Joseph would have been like from a biblical and historical perspective. So, Steve, I'm going to beat you to the punch by saying all of those paintings and depictions we have of Joseph, completely accurate.
I think artwork often does a great disservice to the saints, especially biblical characters.
Yeah.
I'll give an example of Jesus on the cross. You barely can see the wounds on most crucifixes.
Right, right.
You don't see much blood splashing around. He looks like he's swooning on the cross. He's taking a nap.
Right.
And the reality is Mel Gibson's movie. And when we see these non-graphic images of him, or Mary, I'd even say her too, always pristine, perfect, her hair, every hair is in place, her toenails were just done at the pedicurist. She's got blue robes, which she would never have worn because blue was only worn by royalty because it was extremely expensive.
Right.
And it does us a disservice because we get an image of the people and we don't realize who they really were. We have a fictional image of them. I understand why artwork and artists make images like that, because art is not just to show you what the eye sees. Art is to show you the meaning behind what the eye sees, to show the inner qualities of a person. And if you're trying to express holiness righteousness and goodness, people start tending to have this very syrupy, sentimental feeling about it. For example, the pictures of Joseph carrying a flower in his in his lotion soft hands, I like
unblemished
to say it.
Skin.
Yes.
Yeah.
And the guy was he's a tecton, like you and I were saying earlier when we were talking. He is a day laborer. He's working with rocks.
Yeah.
And you're a big guy. You're bigger than I am. And I still think Joseph could have easily picked you up and thrown you right over a fence.
I believe it.
Without even trying. He could grab a big guy, pin him to the ground in a wrestling match and pin him to the ground. Joseph wasn't a sissy.
Right.
And I think it does our boys. We present Joseph as our model. And he's presented with flowers and soft. And I understand why there's a flower, too. Lilies represent things. And in the proto-evangelium of James, he had to put a stick in the ground.
Mm-hmm.
And the one that blossomed was the one that was chosen to be Mary's husband. And so this is representative of the holiness, the lily, and also the story of how Joseph was chosen. But he's much more likely to have a heavy-duty staff in his hand, or people carried swords back then. And people don't like to hear that today. But even the what's the last?
It's true, though.
It is true. And what's the last thing that Jesus said at the end of the Last Supper, when they finished? He said, "Do you have enough swords?"
Right.
And Peter says, "We have two." Jesus mm-hmm. said, "That should be enough." They carried swords around with them. Joseph may have been a sword carrier. When have you ever seen an image of Joseph with a sword? See, that this is the kind of. I've been there over 200 times. I know what the people are like there today. And I imagine going on these paths. I've run from Nazareth to Sepphoris, which is probably where Jesus and Joseph worked, because the Romans were building a big mm-hmm. city there. And Nazareth is a little podunk village. Where are you going to find work? If you're a builder, a rock mason, where do you go? Well, you're going to go down where the work is.
Yes.
The men would all walk an hour down there. It took me an hour to run there and an hour and a half an hour to run back uphill. But these guys would walk an hour to work every day. They'd work 12 hours. They were humping rocks around, chiseling yeah. them out of the mountain. Still right. today in Nazareth, they have quarries where you get the Jerusalem limestone.
Jerusalem limestone
but now yeah. they have the hydraulic equipment. But Joseph was the mule. He was the hydraulic equipment. And Jesus back then, they worked. They worked with their hands. They had calluses on their hands.
Right.
Their faces were brown. They looked more like you. You know, a brown yeah. face and brown eyes and, you know,
scars on their hands,
Absolutely.
Scars on their faces. Yeah.
One time I brought home a rock from Caesarea Philippi, where Jesus said, "You're a rock." And I brought a rock, and I was going to break it up and give it to my friends when I first went there. I was so proud to come home. But I didn't want to bunch a little one. I'd bring a big one and break mm-hmm. it. So I took it down to my workshop, and I took one of my big hammers, and I whacked that thing, smash! And instantly, I had 8 places where my hands are bleeding.
Mm.
Those rocks pierced my hands, and I was bleeding. I had to get Band-Aids. Imagine Joseph and Jesus, who worked 12 hours a day with stones as tectons,
right.
hard material, day laborers. Just imagine their hands were calloused. They yeah. were tough guys. And I think that, especially for our boys, to present them this effeminate,
right.
almost feminized Joseph and say, "This is our model." You know, I have 3 of the saints with swords in my house, and the grandkids love it. I've got Elijah, who took the sword and he killed the 450 prophets of Baal.
Mm-hmm.
I have Michael, the archangel, with his foot on the devil's neck, ready to stick the sword right in his head. And I've got also, people don't like this one either, St. James, the Muslim slayer. He's the patron saint of Spain.
Mm-hmm.
And he came in and saved them from the Moors.
Yep.
From the sky, he came in and he had a sword and he defeated the Muslims. And in Spain, they call him the great Muslim slayer.
Why don't people like that?
Well, because they have this ecumenical idea that all religions are equal. And I, you know how it is. You can't say anything. You can't be honest about anything anymore. So anyway, my grandsons, they love those 3 saints. They're right in the front. The boys come in and want to look at them. And I have a real sword.
Right.
I bought a sword. It's about 15 pounds. It's a real double-edged sword. Every time they come, "Papa, can we go see that sword?" And they want to carry it around.
Yeah.
This is boys. Let's give boys masculine images
yeah.
so that they're proud to be Catholics and they have saints that they can look up to, not you know,
yeah.
go to a dance with.
My former students, this was the final year I was teaching at Rashad, I talked to them so much about manhood and masculinity that when I was leaving Rashad to come to work full-time at Ave Maria Radio, they got me a sort of Gandalf sword, Glamdring, from the Hobbit series. And it's one of my prized possessions.
Yeah.
Because and inscribed on it are the words I always tell them, "Gentlemen, this is the battle. Let's go to war."
Yeah.
And so that's the kind of thing I want
yeah.
to call out in my own son, because that's what Joseph calls out in us.
That's right. It does. And we should be presenting masculine saints. And yes, there's only one word, one adjective about Joseph. It doesn't say that he's any of the adjectives. There's only one. He never says anything in the Bible. And there's only one adjective, and that's he's a righteous man.
Yeah.
And that's when he found out Mary was pregnant. And he said he was ready to divorce her because mm-hmm. that was an issue. Until the angel came and said, "You don't have to worry. Nothing happened. Mary didn't do anything wrong. This is of the Holy Spirit." And Joseph said, "Okay, good. Thanks for clarifying that for
mm-hmm.
me." But it says that he was a righteous man, and so he was going to follow the law.
Right.
And that word righteous doesn't just mean he was a good old Joe. He was gives a lot of food out at the food banks.
Right, right, right.
What righteous meant is that it was the word that related to how he obeyed the law.
Oh, yeah.
It was the law of Moses. Every aspect of it was obeyed. and he cared about the details of the cleansings, the washings,
right,
how you deal with people, and he would go to the Torah to find it out. And that's how a Jew considered you righteous, if you actually applied and you lived the word of God, the law of Moses. He was righteous as to the law.
Right.
And so this is the kind of guy Joseph was.
And so in Scripture, especially in the Old Testament, but even when we take a look at the change in language in the Greek, whenever that word righteous is used, it can be translated as blameless in sight of the law, right?
Right.
Which means this was a man who, in his public and private life, modeled virtue.
Yes.
This wasn't something he did to show, but in private.
Right.
No, like this was who he was.
Right.
And so the call, when we take a look at those words, Joseph was a righteous man, is can we as men look at that and say, I am blameless in the eyes of the new law, the law of the covenant, the law of love that Christ calls me to?
Right. Am I doing it for the right reasons, and am I doing it silently before God and not,
right,
like we talked about last time, blowing trumpets ahead of us, and Joseph going, look at everybody, I am a righteous man. No, he humbly did it. And the angel spoke to Mary, and she talked to the angel, asked questions. When the angel spoke to Joseph, he didn't say anything, he just did it.
That's right. That's right.
He's a doer.
My guest, Steve Ray, who, father, husband, man of God, and we are talking about the biblical model for manhood, taking a look at our Holy Father, St. Joseph. Stay tuned. I'm Marcus Peter.
Ave Maria School of Law is the Roman Catholic law school in the United States. Consistently ranked in the Princeton Review as one of the best and most conservative law schools, as well as pre-law's most devout law school. Ave Maria School of Law provides a traditional legal education while emphasizing how the law intersects with the Catholic intellectual tradition and natural law philosophy. Ave Maria School of Law, unabashedly Catholic, consistently excellent. For more information, visit avemarialaw.edu.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria Mutual Funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria Mutual Funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria Mutual Funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Teresa Tomeo spoke recently with outgoing Detroit Archbishop Alan Vigneron about the status of evangelization in Detroit.
The Detroit Archdiocese welcomed nearly 1,000 candidates and catechumens. Your Excellency, that doesn't happen without good leadership. So just your thoughts on that number alone, looking back on your years as the Archbishop.
Well, the Lord said that he sows the seed, and our job is to prepare the ground for it. So I give him praise and thanks. And this is about the effort of the whole archdiocese, my brother priests, our deacons, the lay catechists, and all the faithful. And we've all realized that every one of us needs to be a missionary. I believe that this is the fruit God is giving us in response to the initiative of the Holy Spirit.
Find the rest of Teresa's March 12th interview with Archbishop Alan Vigneron in the Catholic Connection Archives at AveMariaRadio.net. And stay connected with all of our programs by following Ave Maria Radio on Facebook and X.
Light of the East, weekends on Ave Maria Radio.
I am Father Thomas Loya. This week on Ave Maria, abstaining from meat, dairy, sweets, wine, oil, iPhones, and entertainment, and adding more prayer seem unreasonable? It is actually the norm that Lent seeks to bring us back to.
Now on Ave Maria Radio's newest FM stations, 105.5 FM in Southfield and 107.9 FM in Ann Arbor.
Underwritten in part by the following nonprofit.
Are you paying high prices with a traditional health insurance company that pays for things that violate your conscience? There's an alternative available. Solidarity HealthShare is a community of faithful individuals and families that never share into immoral medical services, all while saving you money with prices starting as low as $85 per month for singles and $512 for families. Never fund another abortion with your healthcare dollars. Call 844-313-4999 to learn more.
St. Therese once told her sister Celine that when we trust ourselves and not God, our soul becomes barren and incapable of virtue. Her remedy? External works of charity. We all try to do it on our own sometimes, without asking for God's help. At St. Paul Evangelization, we suggest sharing the gospel with someone who needs it. Check out streetevangelization.com to find a team near you where you can share the love of Jesus. If there isn't one in your area yet, perhaps God is calling you to start a team in your city. To learn more, visit streetevangelization.com.
Support for this Ave Maria radio program comes in part by the non-for-profit St. Anthony Services. Are you shopping for mortgage products, Catholic investing, Catholic health, real estate, or estate planning? StAnthonyServices.org can help you find a Catholic professional for these needs. They regularly connect faithful citizens with faith-based professionals that share our Christian values. More information at StAnthonyServices.org or 877-LIFE-US1.
Good afternoon. Welcome back. I'm Marcus Peter. My guest, Steve Ray, who leads pilgrimages across the world, particularly to the Holy Land, Rome, and other sites. And he is a biblical apologist par excellence, and we're talking about biblical manhood in light of what we know about our Holy Father Joseph. So, Steve, I want to pick up with this particular realization. Today, you and I can send our children to CCD. Back then, there wasn't a formal notion of CCD the way we think of today, which means the Word of God, like you mentioned, and I'm going to let you do this.
Well, Joseph was the CCD teacher, and I think that Catholic parents today make the mistake, and they relinquish their authority of educating their children to the CCD teacher. They relinquish it to the school, whether it's a Catholic school, a private school, whatever it is. The schools in CCD are not the primary teachers of our kids. We are. Fathers are. That was the dad's job, and it still is to this day. Mm-hmm. My job was to educate my children. It didn't matter what school they went to. It didn't matter what religious education they're getting. It was my job to teach them.
Right.
And just imagine Joseph, now who's responsible to teach Jesus. Just think of the fact that God is the Father. Jesus is the Son of God. And yet God relinquished some of his fatherly prerogatives and gave them to Joseph and said, "You raise my son." Yeah. What kind of a man would that be? And so Joseph is the teacher. In the Mishnah, which is the collection of Jewish traditions, of the time, because once the temple was destroyed, they said we're gonna lose a lot, so let's collect all of the unwritten traditions and put them down. And one of them said, at 5 years old, the boy should study scripture. Who's gonna teach us scripture at 5 years old? It's the father.
Right.
At 10 years old, he learns the Mishnah, which is this tradition. At 13 years old, he becomes a son of the law. He practices the law on his own.
Right.
That's key, because that's where boys have a bar mitzvah today. Mm-hmm. Bar means son of, mitzvah means law. They become a son of the law. At 13, they now are under the authority. They're an adult Jew, so to speak. And you can't say anymore, that boy can no longer say, "Well, I go to synagogue because mommy and daddy make me go to synagogue." He's 13 now. He's an adult, and he says, "I'm going to synagogue because I'm ready to die for the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob." Like Saul to Tarsus became Saul. He said, "I was more zealous than any of my countrymen." So imagine Joseph now, his job is to teach Jesus. And I think when they walked an hour to work and back, I like to say, well, did Joseph teach Jesus or did Jesus teach Joseph? And what did they talk about for an hour on the way to work and an hour way back? What did Jesus and Joseph, when I was running that back and forth there just to get it, I've run all over Israel, everywhere. I've run from Cana to Nazareth, everywhere. I try to imagine what, while I'm swatting mosquitoes and knowing they did the same thing, what did they talk about? Joseph had to teach Jesus how to read the Torah.
Yes.
Joseph is teaching God, the Word of God, how to read the Word of God. Mary and Joseph are teaching God how to pray to God.
Right.
How to teach the Son to talk to his Father, which he's been doing through all of eternity. But now in his humanness, he has to learn this in his human nature, and Joseph is the guy.
Right.
That would terrify me. I'm frankly, I'd be terrified. To have the job of saying, okay, now this is the Son of God, and I want you to teach him. And I know you're going to do it correctly because I'm giving you that authority. I'm delegating you
right.
to teach my son. I'm giving you my own fatherly prerogatives so that you can raise my son the way I want him raised as a human being. And so this is... And Joseph, I don't think, was ever jealous of the fact, knowing that Jesus was ultimately the Son of God. They knew that. There's a lot of things they didn't know.
Mm-hmm.
But that was one thing that they did know. And then just imagine Jesus when he was at the temple. He said, don't you know that I have to be about my father's business? Well, who's his father? Joseph. And Joseph would say, wait a minute, I'm your father. And there could be jealousy there.
Mm.
But it says Joseph and Mary didn't understand what he meant.
Right.
They didn't comprehend what he was saying. So this is the whole idea of Joseph and Jesus together as a father and the son is you can meditate and think about that a long time.
Yeah, you bring up so many really valid concerns about how you and I, as men today, can model ourselves, or can use Joseph as a model. One of the things that you brought up, Steve, that greatly concerns me. I pray daily, even long before the birth of my son. I've been praying for the sainthood of our marriage and our children, because what Jesus had, like you mentioned, in the profession of the bar mitzvah, is I am now professing I will die for the law of God.
Right.
Our confirmations today tend to be a kind of take it out of CCD and therefore take it out of the church.
Yep.
That's what it was for me.
Yep.
And I fear that happening for our children because we don't have the same sociocultural communal support that the Jews have and can presuppose.
Right, because when you march that Jewish boy on Monday and Thursday mornings at the Western Wall, that's when they have the bar mitzvahs and they have the ram's horns. The shofar is blowing
yeah, yeah.
and the mesmer music and they have a canopy over them and the boy is so proud because they don't start at the Western Wall. They start out in the streets and they march
yep.
in. Don't ever think you're going to convert that boy away from Judaism anytime
right.
soon. One time, I'll tell this fun story because we talked about swords. We helped them convert into the Catholic Church early on and they asked me to be confirmation sponsor for their son. I said, no, I'm too busy. I have to travel. They said, oh, can you meet with them one evening? I said, sure, I will, but I was thinking, you have no idea what you're asking. So that night when I knew the boy was coming, I got my Roman helmet on. I have a real Roman helmet that I used in the movies that we made on Apostolic Fathers and David and so on. And I have that sword I'm talking about, double-edged sword. I could cut a horse's head off with that thing if I got enough swing. And I went out and I hid on the front porch. My wife pinned a red robe sheet over my shoulder. So I looked just like a Roman centurion, and I went and I hid in the shadows of my uh-huh. front porch. And when that boy came up the steps, I pulled that sword out of my belt. I pushed him against the house with that tip of that sword, and I said, Matthew, are you ready to die for Jesus Christ right now? If not, you're not ready to be confirmed. Confirmed means you're ready to die for Jesus if you have to, and I'm a busy man. Don't waste my time. I will, I can. And that boy never forgot. And then I brought him in for 3 hours and we talked about what it meant to be a Catholic and a Christian and a
right.
manly Christian.
Yeah.
And that boy, I heard that he talked about that story to his friends for over a year, how Steve Ray tried to kill him, but he sure knew what confirmation was. Those two guys now are devout Catholic, him and his brother.
Yeah. And okay, so our listeners are probably listening to this going, well, first of all, some of them might be scandalized, but it's the result of a culture that's effeminized
it
our
is.
Faith so
it
much.
Is.
And yet when we look at Joseph, who undoubtedly carried swords everywhere, who also stood at the threat of Roman soldiers potentially causing him to die for his faith, his son, Jesus, actually did die at the hands of Roman
that's
soldiers.
Right.
This is precisely what we are called to when we look at Joseph.
Well, it is. Joseph, if he's going to be our model, we ought to look at the real Joseph,
yeah.
not the... my favorite painting of Joseph, I sent you over someone with the...
Yep.
Today, it's by Tissot. His name is Tissot, T-I-S-S-O-T, 1800s France. He is a convert, and he painted 365 gospel images. The one of Joseph is my absolute favorite image of Joseph. I showed it to a good friend of mine who has a devotion to Joseph and goes to a Joseph club and so on, and he was utterly scandalized. He thought that is terrible. Joseph does not look like that guy. But the painting is Joseph in his bare feet. He's standing among...
The carpenter's table.
And he's working. He's got an old robe that's torn, and he's got dark hair and dark skins, and his hands are big and they're strong.
Mm-hmm.
To me, that is Joseph. That's when I think of Joseph. I think of that image that Tissot painted. I think it's realistic. I think it's what probably what he very much looked like.
Why was your friend scandalized?
Because it showed Joseph rough. Showed Joseph tough, manly. And he's had this image of Joseph with the lily flower. And young, you know, young, 20 years old or something, you know, with this image of Joseph, he's a hard worker. He's a man.
Yeah.
And so I've had people scandalized by that. But see, my whole goal is one of the things I do when I go to the Holy Land is I want to introduce people to the real Joseph, yeah, the real Jesus. I said, when we're in the United States, you're defending the divinity of Christ. The Jehovah's Witnesses come to your door and you defend the divinity of Christ. And the world says he's not God, he's just a good teacher. You defend his divinity. But now that we're in the Holy Land, you already know his divinity. I want to introduce you to his humanity. What was it like for Jesus to live here in Nazareth in a cave? What was it like for Mary to live here in a cave? You see her always in blue. She didn't wear blue. They had very dull drab colors, the colors of wool and flax that was, because they didn't have money and the ability to dye clothing, especially way up in a backwater village like Nazareth.
That's right.
Only kings and royalty had red and purple and blue clothing. Yeah. And so Mary would not have looked like we picture her. I have pictures, real photographic images of girls at the well in Nazareth over 100 years ago. And you look at their feet, and it's amazing. You look at their feet and the way they're dressed, and they have jugs of water on their head. And that's the way they did it in Mary's day.
Yeah.
Mary's main job was not to pray. She did do that, but her main job was to take care of the family. She had to go a 15-minute walk to the well with a jug on her head and bring back a water jug for the family. That's what she did every morning and night. She had to make the clothes and cook and make the fire. That's just mundane kind of things, changing Jesus' diaper. Mother Teresa would tell you that, yes, we should spend an hour in front of the Blessed Sacrament every day, but then we should spend time serving people and changing dirty diapers and going to the well to get water. And I try to introduce people to the real Joseph, what Mary was really like in her native land, so to speak.
Right. So we're out of time in the segment. I really wanted to touch on Joseph being the face of God the Father in heaven. But, Steve, thank you so much for spending time to talk with us.
You're
about
welcome.
Joseph's fatherhood.
I look forward to the next time.
I'm Marcus. Looking forward to it, too. My guest, Steve Ray, pilgrimage leader, biblical apologist. We've been talking about the biblical and historical understanding of who Joseph was. And truth be told, it's about he was a truly manly man. He was strong, he was courageous, and he led the charge in work and in virtue. And so, gentlemen, let's be that way and raise our sons to be the same. Thank you for joining us. I'm Marcus Peter.